houses of worship where people assemble together, even in to some home congregations. And they turn the lights on completely. And if there was an altar call given at the very beginning of the service, and your ticket to come forward for the altar call was to take this book of any translation which you have, and come forward and stand at the altar, and then turn around and face the assembled people and say, "This is what I stand on, the Word of God." How few people would be coming forward in that mega congregation or that small house fellowship that actually brought God's Word with them? It's astounding. And I know many would be up there with their laptops and their phones. Oh, that's right, I do have that, I can come forward. But honestly, how much time do God's people spend daily reading and meditating on Scripture? They may be reading about other books about Scripture, about someone's testimony about Scripture, but actually spending time reading God's Word. And we wonder, well, why is all this deception going on in the world? Why are people being led astray? Why are the biblical truths that they established in their hearts, yes and amen, when they came to know the Lord, and as they were being transformed in His image and likeness, that now they say, well, politically, or I've had a new revelation, but it's not based on God's Word? You see in the fabric of many congregations now that are being torn asunder because they'd rather be politically correct and expressing unconditional love but without sharing the truth. Our Heavenly Father shows us unconditionally love daily, but He also shares with us the truth. He sees us for who we are, and He sees the things that we are doing and thinking that we think are done in secret, and they're not, because they're always before Him. We are to be people of one thing, and that is people of the Word only. And I wasn't planning to open up today's message, and I don't know if Alan has even recorded this. I was implying nothing is written down, but I want you to hear from the Spirit of living God. And anything that I've shared with you today, if it's not of God, He will tell you such and such. He's given you all minds to think. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Father, now as we turn to Your Word, it is alive. But, Father, because of our sins, we become dead. We become complacent. We become all these things that are not pleasing in Your sight. Father, it's our heart's desire that You would breathe afresh Your Spirit along with Your Word, Your Ruach, the Holy Spirit, yet again afresh in us, Almighty God. We need it. We cannot live, we cannot serve You without being men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God and actually reading God's Word daily. We got to stop fooling ourselves. The adversary, the devil, has deceived us. We've got to stop following these Christian and messianic superstars and start following the shepherd who is Yeshua Himself again. You will not give an account in heaven to a messianic rabbi or a Christian pastor. You will have to give an account before Yeshua, your shepherd. So, Father, we come before You and we ask, Almighty God, that you'll wake us up again, that we will walk in right relationship with you, Father. For you are love and you're compassionate, but you're truthful. Remove all the dross out of our lives. All those secret things that we would be ashamed that would be proclaimed from the housetops. Almighty God, remove all these things. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen. Acts of the Emissaries, chapter 8, part 3. I'm just adjusting this podium here a little bit. It's a lot smaller podium than what I'm used to. So I have my Bible, I have my notes here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us begin. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to be beginning in verse 25. In the two prior messages, we dealt and shared, there was sharing of three different Jewish men. One was Philip, one was Kepha, one was Simon the sorcerer, and now here's our fourth. And on outward appearances, he does not appear even to be Jewish. But as we enter into God's word, it is revealed that he is a Jewish man. 8:25. Then after giving thorough witness and speaking the word of the Lord, Kepha and Yohanan started back to Jerusalem, announcing the good news to many villages in Sharon. An angel of Adonai said to Philip, "Get up and go southward on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Ahaz, which is Gaza, the desert road." So he got up and he went on his way, and he caught sight of an Ethiopian, a eunuch, who was a minister in charge of all the treasure of the Candake, or queen of Ethiopia. He had been in Jerusalem to worship. And now he was returning home. He was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah. Then the Spirit, the Ruach, said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and stay close to it." And as Philip ran up, he heard the Ethiopian reading from Yeshayahu the prophet. How did he hear him reading? Because this Ethiopian eunuch was hiding God's in his heart. He was reading it and he was proclaiming it. So he's ministering to not only himself, but those who were accompanying him. It's amazing here that the Spirit of the living God doesn't focus that this Ethiopian eunuch, it appears that he's traveling all by himself, but he's not. There's an entourage with him. Because anyone that traveled during that time, you traveled in groups of people. Why? Because there were highwaymen, robbers and thieves. Those that would rob and steal would usually kill those that they stole from. They did not want to leave any witnesses. So in essence, this Ethiopian eunuch is ministering to his entourage because they can hear him. Remember this, he's the highest person authority in this group. And out of due respect, some are hearing Isaiah possibly for the very first time in their lives. They're hearing the word of God being proclaimed from his lips. So let's continue here. As Philip ran up, he heard the Ethiopian reading from Yeshayahu the prophet Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading?" he asked. And think about this. As Philip is running up, there are guards that are accompanying this chariot and the entourage here. And they're looking at him. And if he was brandishing any weapons, what would have happened at that point? He simply would have been eliminated. And this is boldness because Philip is taking his own life in his own hands here. But he's doing the will of the Father, that an angel came to speak to him, to send him on this task, upon this mission. So going forward here, how can I, the Ethiopian eunuch says. He said, unless someone explains it to me. And he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. Now the portion of the Tanakh that he was reading was this. He was like a sheep led to be slaughtered, like a lamb silent before the shearer. He does not open his mouth. He was humiliated and denied justice. Who will tell about his descendants, since his life had been taken away from the earth? This is Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53:7-8. 8:34. The eunuch said to Philip, here's my question to you. Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Then Philip started to speak, beginning with that passage out from Isaiah. He went on to tell him the good news about Yeshua. See, he couldn't quote from Matthew through Revelation. Why? Because it hadn't been written yet. And so he took what the Ethiopian eunuch had, the book of Isaiah. And let's just contemplate this for one moment. Very few people had a personal copy of the book of Isaiah in this time and setting. You had to be very, very wealthy to have your own copy of the book of Isaiah. Could it have been in the libraries in Ethiopia, copies? Yes. But that was such a precious scroll, and it cost lots of shekels for it to be provided, for it to even be there. And you think for one moment that the queen of Ethiopia would allow one of her servants to take one of her scrolls of Isaiah? Absolutely not. So this man was on a journey before the book of Acts. How did he even find out that the book of Isaiah even existed? There had to have been someone, a light person giving good news of the hope of the world, which is the Tanakh. See, many times we separate the Brit Hadashah from the Tanakh. It's all God's holy word. And so all this Adonai had orchestrated in this Ethiopian eunuch's life. He ordained for him to go and travel many weeks, if not months, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, for him to even go there and worship. And we think, so, well, I'm just, what's happening in my life is either karma or it just happenstance. No, there is a heavenly Father, creator of all things. He's created you. He has a plan and purpose for your lives. And he will introduce himself to you time and time again. And that's what he's doing now in this Ethiopian eunuch's life. And notice this, we're never even given the guy's name. That's the prerogative of the Spirit of the living God. Because when Luke, the apostle, was given the assignment of writing the Acts of the Emissaries, all these things took place and was ordained by the Lord in all these things. Now let's move forward. Let's just give you a little background, in essence, what's going on here. Because sometimes we just focus on what's evidently before us, but we don't think about it. We don't ask the Spirit of Living God, open up our minds, that we would begin to realize how you've been orchestrating all these things. Let's move forward now. 8:35. Then Philip started to speak, beginning with that passage. He went on to tell him the good news about Yeshua. He's telling him who Isaiah was writing about. Someone that he's never even heard of. Most likely, when this Ethiopian eunuch was in the land of Israel, possibly Yeshua had already had his 3 to 3.5 years ministry, had died and raised from the dead. And think about that testimony that he'd be hearing from other believers who were on their way to worship at the temple. Have you heard? God has sent his Messiah. And he died and he rose from the dead. So all these things, because, you know, this is a man of importance. A man who had to know what was going on, not only in Ethiopia, but also what was happening in Israel. Going forward here. 8:36. As they were going down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's some water. Is there any reason why it should not be immersed? So the Spirit doesn't say here that there was an altar call in the chariot, and this man prayed a certain prayer. All those things are being left out. Because this man knew that even prior to him being able to go on the Temple Mount, he had to go through a mikvah, an immersion, to even worship. So this isn't strange to him. And notice this, he brings it up. Philip doesn't bring it up. He wants to be cleansed from the sins of the revelation of what he has now received. So all these things are here. All these things God has done in our lives, and he's done on every believer's life. As the word of God becomes alive in our hearts, and God sends someone into our life to share with us, to give us understanding, to lead us on the path to Yeshua. And notice this, Philip did not talk about anything else, but he focused on Yeshua. I wished, and I'm jealous, because as a Jewish believer, when I first read this, I thought, I want to hear all those verses of the Tanakh that Philip shared. You know what the Spirit said to me? Don't worry about it. They're there. Just read them. Meditate on them. And then you'll see them. Let's go forward now. He ordered, this is the Ethiopian eunuch, he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip immersed him. Notice this, he doesn't ask, well, I need an emissary. Can you send for Kepha and Yohanan? No. Because Philip was being called out. Philip was one of the original deacons that was being called out and launching out into a ministry of evangelism. He was becoming an evangelist, appointed by an angel, sent on a mission. And notice this, the angel did not translate him there. The angel didn't pick him up in his arms, and they flew there. But he said, you're to go. All right? The significance of that we will see here in a few moments. Let's move forward now. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. How many times is it recorded in Scripture of people being snatched? 3. Enoch, Elijah, and now Philip. So all this talk about going back and forth to heaven and being translated to different parts of the earth, is that still going on? No. Why didn't the Lord snatch Philip from where he was and then bring him right next to the Ethiopian eunuch? because it wasn't the Father's will. The Spirit of the living God will not do what is not the Father's will. Yeshua will not do what the Father's will. And he wrestled with that pertaining to him being both God and a human man with a free will in the Garden of Gethsemane. To the point where he sweat blood. But he knew this, he must do the Father's will, and from his own lips, not my will, but yours be done. What should be coming from our lips? Father, your will be done, not mine. We're not building our church. We're not building people to follow after our ministry. We're building God's kingdom, and we're to make disciples of Yeshua, not disciples of us, but disciples of Yeshua. And who helps us do that? Who equips us, empowers us to even do that? But the Spirit of the living God. So my question to you is this, are you making disciples? The people that you speak to, the people who live around, the people where you work at, are you making disciples? Every encounter is a holy mission from the Lord. Are you looking at that way? When someone cuts you off when you're driving down the freeway, that person got your attention. Are you praying for them that they would drive more safely? Or are you sharing some words underneath your breath and calling down fire from heaven upon them? Let's move forward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch saw no more of him, and he continued on his way full of joy. Where was he going? Back to Jerusalem? No, he's going back to Ethiopia. Here's a man who's been transformed by the power of God. And just think this, God ordained him to become a eunuch for such a time as that. So when he went back to Ethiopia, what do you think he shared? Do you think he just talked about Philip being translated, disappearing? No. He talked about the book of Isaiah and about Yeshua. And whom he's putting his trust. And I truly believe that from that point on, Ethiopia was transformed. There was a remnant body of Messiah birthed. You know what? The book of Acts doesn't record all that. But that's the beauty of heaven. These things will be established going forward. But Philip showed up at Ashdod and continued proclaiming the good news as he went through all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So here's the Lord. He's calling him out. He's sending him out. And he's doing the Father's will. And that's what the Father wants us to do. Amen? Now let's dig a little bit deeper. And I may not complete this part three today, and that's all right. Praise be to God. 826. The road that goes down from Jerusalem to Esau Gaza. The Esau Road, the Gaza Road, is an important thoroughfare in modern Jerusalem. The ancient road continued through toward the sea west southward below Mahat. And this is recorded in 1 Chronicles 8:6, where I now live through Emek Raphim, the valley of Raphim. There the Philistines assembled against King David before they defeated them. That's found in 1 Chronicles 14:8. 16. So now, going back to 8:26, and the angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go southward on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Ahaz the desert road. Verse 27. So he got up and he went his way, and he caught sight of the Ethiopian eunuch, who was a minister in charge of the treasury of the Candake, or queen of Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. Now let us look at this, because many of us, possibly, and those who are listening on the podcast, may not know what a eunuch is. And you've grabbed a Webster's dictionary, whatever dictionary you have, you're looking up what that word means, all right? A eunuch. Throughout the ancient Near East, men in positions of power were often castrated. All right? That was a policy in our normal practice. Remember this, we're not dealing with biblically kingdoms or kings, but the world that believed in paganism. And they believed that their brother, their wife, their cousin, everyone wanted to put them to death to seize the throne. It's like king of the hill, king of the mountain. This was what was going on in the ancient world. And it's still going on today. Let's move forward. The Tanakh has a number of examples, including this person, and I'll spell it out first, Evedmelekh, the Cushite. Evedmelekh, the Cushite. He was an Ethiopian. At Jeremiah, recorded in the book of Jeremiah 38:7, he was the one that told the king of Israel that if Jeremiah is not released from that pit, from that cistern, he would die. And he was the one that also shared with King Nebuchadnezzar. When King Nebuchadnezzar heard of that from this Ethiopian eunuch, he sent his guards to release him. Going forward here. The Candake. In the King James, it's called Candace. It's without the. It's like a pharaoh or a Caesar. This is a title, not a name. It means queen or the queen's mother. The monarchy of Ethiopia claims to trace its genealogy from King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Where is that found? In 1 Kings 10. Through their son, I'll spell it out, Menelik, the first. Menelik, the first. To King Haile Selassie, who was deposed in 1974. Some 3,000 years later, Ethiopian Jews who call themselves Beta Israel, House of Israel, but are also known as Falasha, the Amharic word that means exiles, that they're exiles in the place where they live. So we're bringing this all together so we can understand that God has been visiting Ethiopia for centuries. And there was part of the diaspora of Jews that fled to Ethiopia for a time after the temple was destroyed. So all these things have to come together here. And think about this, the witness of this Ethiopian eunuch that was sent to those in authority of the royal family of the people of Ethiopia and the significance. See, the Lord is orchestrating all these things. He's bearing witnesses through his people, both through the Jewish people and those of the nations that come to know Messiah. Now, going forward here, they considered themselves, the Beta Israel, as descendant from Jews who came from Melanic, the first. Now going forward, think about this. We don't think about this, but you could not come into the congregation on the temple if you were a eunuch. The Tanakh forbids it. Let's see what the scripture says here. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. Chapter 8 deals with two categories of persons, in one sense joined to, in another sense separated from the Jewish people. The Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, 4 through 24 were not Jews, but they had Jewish ancestry. They did not worship in Jerusalem. This Ethiopian was born Jewish. Since the first Gentile was not reached with the good news until chapter 10. That's recorded in the book of Acts. Because who was to be the light to the nations but the Jewish people going forward here? Because he was a eunuch, he was prohibited from worshiping in the congregation of God's people. Where is that found? But in Deuteronomy, Davarim 21:3. And this is what it says. A man with crushed or damaged private parts may not enter the assembly of the congregation of Adonai. Okay? His traveling so far to worship, even though be debarred, attests to his godliness. In later scriptures, God took some special note of godly eunuchs. And here is written in Isaiah, remember this, what scroll was he reading from? But the book of Isaiah. So possibly on his way to Jerusalem, he read these words. This is Isaiah 56, 4 and 5. For here is what Adonai says, as for eunuchs, who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. In my house and within my walls, I will give them power and a name greater than the sons and daughters. I will give him an everlasting name that he will not be cut off. Have you ever read the book of Isaiah when you read Acts chapter 8? Probably not. But you see, God had been ministering to this man and preparing his heart. Where one part of the Tanakh said that he could not even go into the assembly. But he couldn't care less. He was like a leper standing on the outside and knew that they were unclean. Think about those 10 lepers that went to Yeshua. They know they're ceremonially unclean, and they're not even supposed to come near a rabbi, but they go before Yeshua because they see that there's hope, and they're delivered. And it's amazing. Only two of those lepers come to him and share with them about their healing. Isn't that amazing? But where are the other ones? Excuse me, it was one. There's a song. But where are the other nine? It's amazing how music helps us, is it not? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us continue the next time, all right? We'll close the message today.